The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo. Yeah, you just said it, right? Owning a house is stressful. I don't know. What do you do?
It's mostly stressful when it rains. Because,
well, I do have to clean my gutters.
Yeah, and that's what I did last weekend. And then I come to find out that, you know, this is so stupid. But, like, the way, you know, I don't know how this stuff works. And you have those you know, big, I'm sure you have them on your house, those plastic accordion extensions that come off the downspouts to get the water. They bury them sometimes in
the
ground.
Yeah. French drains, but, yeah, I don't
know. Is that what
those.
They're called? Okay, so... I figured out that
drains.
Like three of mine were completely busted at the downspout, just ruining the foundation of my house. My back door won't close. And Laszlo, my front porch. So on the front of my house, I have like a stone porch, right? That's part of the foundation. You walk up a couple steps and then you know how big my porch is there. The thing is sinking.
Oh, no.
Because of improper water dispersal, which is my fault for not cleaning that stuff more often. So I've got it clean now, but I did it myself. So every time it rains,
Kenny.
I'm like, did I do? I know. And I wanted Kenny to try and come out on a weekend, and it's supposed to rain again this weekend. I mean, I think I sort of got it fixed the day I busted my head open.
I have to be honest, because I have that long walkway.
Yeah.
And it was all cracked underneath one part.
Yeah.
And Kenny was doing a bunch of stuff, and he came out, and he's like, man, you got to fill that thing, or else it's going to sink. And
that's what he told me about my porch last time he was over. He goes, boy, your porch needs some work. And I was like, can you do it? He's like, it's going to be a lot of work. I was like, well, do it.
That's super funny. But maybe yours is in worse shape, because I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it. And then he came over another time to do something else. He's like, you said you were going to do that. I'm like, well, I don't even really know what to do. He goes, hold on. And he went to his truck and pulled out this long thing of caulk and this other thing. And he's like, I'll just do it now, or else I'll have to come. He literally said, or else I'll have to come back and fix it. It was a lot more work.
Okay.
So he just knocked it out.
Okay. Well, I need him for several things.
And then
things.
He was like, you know, you might want to spray over that or paint it or something. I'm like, okay, no.
I did that. I sealed the stuff, but now it looks like crap because I've got orange spots everywhere. There's sealant because my brother just. Anyway, I need him to come out on a weekend and help me. And the last 2 days, I've sat there and started to compose text messages to Kenny the Handyman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling him, like, hey, this is what I got. Because usually I tell him what I need help with so that he has an idea of how long it's going to take and when he should come out. But I don't even know what to say. So finally, I just had this text that last night that said, can you please come help me? There's a lot of things.
Can you please come
There's
help
a lot
me?
Of things I need you to take a look at. You know, and if we could do it on a weekend when I have time for you to explain to me how bad everything is, that would be great. So
did you send it?
I haven't sent it yet because I was just like, is
that
even...
I'm going to send him one to have him come clean my gutters.
I got the gutters cleaned. I'll come clean your gutters. I love getting on a ladder. Do you have a ladder?
Yeah, but you have to get on the second story.
Yeah, I climb on the roof of my house.
No, I don't need you falling off.
Okay, it's fun.
Well,
I don't have
a fear of heights. A Band-Aid,
but that's
bitch.
Not from falling off the
it's
roof.
It's still from doing stuff.
Yeah, it's from a little tree scratch. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's
a
fine.
Little tree scratch.
Oh, tree.
Tree scratch.
Yeah. Well... It's
hard
say,
to say for some reason.
Tree scratch. Last night I took the Band-Aid off and I looked at myself in my phone and I went, oh, that's not what I thought it was supposed to look like. So I may not be doing so good as a doctor anymore.
Twitch, you guys listen to me too much. Just a ton of, I'll get all up in your gutters. I'll clean your gutters
last. I was up in your mom's gutters this weekend.
I'll hang your mom's curtains.
Yeah, her gutters are good. The problem is they're getting a little tight there. The downspouts.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Those downspouts. We sent Spencer over
your
there.
Your mom's gutters are loose, son.
Sent Spencer over there to clean up the downspouts. That's his favorite. You know, I was just trying to make it about, when we do mom jokes, we could just... You know, in general, it's moms. You don't always have to look at me and say, my mom, you know, she's sick right now. So
what's wrong with her?
She's got some sort of sinus thing. And
she's
miserable, you know. And it's almost Mother's Day, so just give her a break, you know.
Did you get her a gift?
I've got, like, I've been on Amazon looking at stuff, but I'm not sure what to get her.
Last week.
She texts me about every other day and says my soundbar stopped working again. And so a lot of times I'll drive out
there.
Yeah, I'll drive out there because she's got to have TV, right? She's got She lives alone. If she can't hear her damn TV, no. What's she going to do? Read all day? You know, she's got to have a TV. So I go over there to fix it, and it's usually something really simple. And then, like, the other, she texts me again yesterday or day before, her soundbar stopped working again. So I thought I could get her. There's actually nothing wrong with the soundbar. But, you know, with all the problems she's having, she might think there's a problem with it, so I could get her another soundbar. I don't know what to get
her. Does she have a Fire Stick?
She uses Roku, which she likes a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
Well, I was just going to say, because I do, for whatever reason, I do everything Amazon.
Oh, you can get the Amazon Omni or whatever.
And I got the Amazon
soundbar.
Soundbar. So when, even if it disconnects, it says soundbar disconnected.
Oh,
so, and then it'll be like soundbar reconnecting. Like it's, yeah, you know, my 13-year-old went over the other day because it was off because the TV had been off for a while. And it was just like, I mean, you couldn't be easier than like hit this button.
Yeah.
And it's like soundbar connecting to Fire Stick. It's okay. So easy.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a Roku built-in soundbar.
Yours isn't connected by a wire. It's Bluetooth? Like, yes. It's wireless? Oh, okay. My mom's just is hooked up, so yeah. Her problem is it just keeps going unplugged.
I just use the Bluetooth, and it's super easy.
Yeah. She uses Alexa a lot. We call her Lady A around the house. So that
you call your mom Lady A?
Call Alexa Lady A so that it doesn't, you know, get
Lady
her attention.
A. I saw, I'm Lady starting A. to like that.
I don't know. I heard my nieces say it. I don't know.
That's short for anal?
A lot of people say that. It's for not triggering your Alexa when referencing your Alexa.
Oh, yeah. Say Lady Anal.
Lady A. Lady A. You know what I want to get my mom? Those curtains with the...
An abortion?
Make sure you turn your mic on so everyone can hear you laugh and snow cone. I like when you do that.
Uh-huh.
I want to get her those curtains.
That'd be a good Mother's Day gift, because believe me, she probably needs one. I think, you know, if you want to get her gutters cleaned, is what they call it nowadays.
I literally just asked you a minute ago, which I know triggers you, but if I didn't say it, you'd be doing it anyway, so just take a break.
Hey, the only reason why I ever make those jokes is because 24 years ago, whenever we started working together, we were doing a remote, and I said something about your mom.
I'll never live this down.
It was your second day working, and then you stepped to me like you were going to fight me, and you're like, don't ever talk about my mother again. And at that moment, I went like, I don't know how long we're going to work together.
Worst mistake of my career
life. It may be 3 days. It may be 3 weeks. It may be 3 months. I had no idea, but I was like, every day.
You act like I was going to fight you. I was just angry. No, yeah. I was angry. And as soon as we went off the air, I said, don't talk about my mom, dude.
Yeah.
Don't do that because she lives here, you know?
Yeah. And then
like, she's listening to me. And I don't remember. I remember regretting saying it immediately. And I remember thinking this might be my last day. And then
I was going to fire you. I just knew it right then. This is his thing. This is what will bother him.
Yeah.
So I will stay on that.
So anyhow, Mother's Day is coming up. Is it this weekend?
I think it's May.
No, it's next weekend, right?
It's this weekend, I think.
No way. I thought it was like the 11th or something. Hey, Alexa, we don't have an Alexa in here. What day is Mother's Day? Hey, Siri. Hey, Siri, what day is Mother's Day? Uh-huh. What day is Mother's Day?
Mother's Day is on Sunday, May 12th.
May 12th.
Mm. I already said something.
You got some time. Is she going to get an early gift?
I thought it was May 5th.
Oh, your mom loves early gifts. Let me tell you something.
What is it, like pre-gifts? Is she trying to make that joke?
Yeah, she doesn't need a lot
I don't
of time.
Think so.
She doesn't like to wait.
She doesn't have much like down there, so she probably needs you to work a little bit.
Anyway, I want to get my mom.
Doesn't bother me. That's
I want to get my mom those curtains where you tell Alexa to say, hey, close the curtain, because she has to go around her house and
I
close
like
them,
that too.
And they just come down. I thought you would like them too. When I was looking at them, I was like, dude, Laz would like these. They are not expensive at all.
Really?
Yes. Each one, you can get them for like $25-$35 for each one.
And you just hang them?
You hang them up just like regular curtains, and they come with the actual blinds or whatever. And you charge it, and when you charge it, it stays charged for like a year or something. And then, you know, if it runs out of juice, you go
like
back
that.
And charge it again.
I'd like to put them
cheap.
In my front room.
Right, and you just, it's voice automated.
Because we're
remote
in there
control.
Playing video games, because I use that front room as a video game room.
Yeah. So
and so
got,
it's got this big, stupid window that's always open. The mail guy walks by.
Right,
like,
and when it gets dark out, they can see you.
Well, not only in light time, so I'm just in my underwear and a sweatshirt playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, MLB The Show.
Yeah, it's
it'd
not,
be nice
if
I could
just say, hey,
close it.
I thought of Lazo. I was like, man, when I saw how cheap those were, I was shocked. And I thought, Lazo would like these. Because you can get them for Alexa, Google Home, maybe Apple. I don't know if they still do that. But, you know, they all say what they work with. Most of them work with Alexa and Google Home, so you can do voice operation. I think it'd be cool. I'd like them just to have the remote. My house is so small,
cool.
I can always reach the remote. So,
I'm sure they have those with remotes. Though.
They do. They come with remotes, too, I think. But then if you want to hook them up to the voice thing, which I'm sure you would.
The remote would be great. But even if I don't, the remote would be great. I could just sit in that room.
I have a remote for my lights in my living room. So at nighttime, I pick up. It's right next to my candles, and I pick it up and hit, and it just turns off all the lights. Alexa was listening to me all the time, and I looked back at what she was listening to me say, and I thought, I don't need her listening all the time. So I mute her. She's plugged in, but I mute her.
How do you look and see what she hears you say?
There's a way on the app you can go back and look at all the things you asked.
On the Amazon app?
On the Alexa app or whatever, yeah.
I don't ever use the Alexa app.
It tells you. Well, you could just log into your account. I think it'll tell you everything you've asked to buy. For me, it was, you know, how old's Tom Hanks? How old's Jim Carrey? Remember that?
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
I got embarrassed.
I don't really talk to her that much.
But you asked her to buy stuff, right? If you can get her to close your blinds, you just need help getting her more set up. My mom uses it for everything. Turn on the kitchen lights. Turn on the living room lights. Turn off
this. I'm telling you, I need someone to come over and do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to pay somebody, like, I'm being honest, like, because I know it's not that hard. I need to pay somebody $100.
Yes.
And then you tell me what to buy, and then just come in and set it up. I'll leave.
Yes.
And then you tell me this is how it works.
Yep. There's people on Twitch who probably offer to do it because you just have to buy a few things. There's Wi-Fi plugs and all that.
Maybe a girl.
You need a handy lady. That's what you need.
Yeah.
A handy gal. Yeah, Lazo likes handy gals.
I do.
Yeah. Your mom likes giving handies. Damn it.
Don't talk about
my mom.
Like, I mean, we all knew that was coming. There was no...
I actually think about your mom as I start to say it, and I feel bad, so I tame it.
My mom when you masturbate?
No, I think...
I think about your mom, too.
I think about your mom before I try and burn... Before I try and burn you, and I think, she doesn't need to hear this. So I tame it down, because I have some... You know,
she may
respect.
She listens to the podcast. I know my aunt listens to the podcast.
Your mom does listen sometimes. She's texted me that she's heard stuff before.
Yeah,
so,
maybe my aunt listens to the podcast all the time, so you could talk about her.
Well, that's whore. I don't care. I'm not worried about her. I do not respect her.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
I saw something. Well, no, I actually heard something.
What?
It was a podcast I was listening to, and it was fairly brief, but it got me digging into stuff. And this podcast only focused on 1 year, but I started looking at other years. And I know this is stuff that's easy to talk to you about because you know a lot about music. But I guess maybe I've seen these things before and I just don't remember. But trying to figure out what the best year is for a genre of music. So what was the best year for classic rock? Or some would say the best year for rock, right? What was the best year for alternative rock?
94.
And it's interesting to me that these years are... fairly agreed upon, but when you look through the records that came out those years, it's hard to argue. You see how many they sold, and you go, Jesus, these all came out in that year?
For punk, it'd be 77.
Right, so you break it down by genre, and then figure out what year it is, and you look at these years, and you just see how much stuff. You know, for grunge, specifically grunge, if you take alternative and we get a little more specific, for grunge, 91 is a crazy 91. Year, because Man in the Box comes out at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Then Smells Like Teen Spirit, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, all of those bands were introduced in that 1 year, so that by 92, everyone was fully into grunge. But in general, if you just look at alternative
rockers, all those
rockers
came out at the same time?
All those songs came out in 91. There's a bunch of grunge songs.
In 92, a lot more came out, because everyone, there's a gold rush.
Exactly.
And,
yeah, but like... Soundgarden's Bad Motor Finger and that stuff was late 80s.
Right.
Early 90s.
Right, but 91 is what they say, that, like introduced grunge.
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Man in the Box.
Hit the radio.
Man in the Box, Smells Like Teen Spirit. Pearl Jam was introduced. Soundgarden got popular. So much so that by 92, the record label that Temple of the Dog was on, they'd already released Hunger Strike, but it did nothing. So they realized in 92, holy crap, these bands are huge now. We basically have Pearl Jam and Soundgarden together. Let's re-release this, and then, Hunger Strike got huge. So 91 is when kids like me in elementary school were like, holy crap, I'm angry, and, I love Kurt Cobain.
I don't like it, right.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought we could talk about this coming up.
Yeah, okay.
Try and guess what the years were, and it's interesting to see.
It's going to be hard for me chronologically, because you just said that. Like, in my head, I can remember being at bars late at night when they ended the night with Big Dumb Sex.
Yeah, see, you've got that advantage.
From... Louder Than Love was the record. Louder Than Love.
Yeah.
But God, I don't remember if I was at home on vacation.
Or in the Navy?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if I was back on vacation or if that was actual high school. So the years get... I remember being in the Navy and a guy who lived in Seattle came back from leave and he had a demo tape of Man in the Box.
Okay,
so
that's probably 1990 then, because it came out at the beginning of 91.
I'm guessing Soundgarden's Louder Than Love was before that, so I was probably still at home. I was still in high school then.
Well, I was in sixth grade when all that stuff blew up. And also, by 94, 94 was a crazy year, but we'll go through them. Snowcone, okay. You guessed 94. There's some other ones. Some of those classic rocks might be a little harder for us because it's before our time, but it's interesting to see what happened in these years.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
So you had some time to think about it. The best years for rock genres. And, you know, if you do classic rock, a lot of people weren't, you know, obviously at the time they weren't calling it classic rock. It was rock.
Right.
So if you try and look that up, a lot of times you'll find articles that just say the best year in rock history. Right. And okay. And those are the classic rock ones. Apparently, we were just discussing this off the air, but I guess there's a docuseries that was on Apple about 1971 being the greatest year. I don't see that year pop up nearly as frequently as 73, but I never saw this Apple documentary either. The stuff that we were reading about 71 sounded a little yacht rocky, like Laszlo was saying.
It had like Carole King's Tapestry. And
yeah, but if we go to 73... And Snowcone, you know a lot about this stuff. Even if you weren't a huge fan, I feel like you're kind of a music historian. You like to read about those bands, even if you didn't listen to them.
Yeah, I do.
You know a lot of trivia about it. So, 1973. Any guesses here about 73?
What came out in 73?
Yeah, like what was happening in 73? So, in February, you got Deep Purple's Who Do We Think We Are, the final studio offering. Okay. April brought David Bowie's Aladdin Sane. May... Mm. Set Mike Oldfield's Tubular Bells a-chimin'. June, another killer month. This saw Aerosmith and Iggy and the Stooges, Raw Power,
went
on sale.
73?
That's what this says. Make sure this is right, because you're right, Snowcone.
Right.
This year does seem wrong. I would have thought that was earlier, too.
I think it was 69 was Raw Power, maybe 68.
Well, they weren't together very long,
because now you're looking
at
the MC5 before that.
But they weren't together very long, right?
The MC5 was
late 60s. No, they weren't together very long at all, but they only had, what, two albums?
Okay, well, I'll keep going. 73, Black Sabbath, and again, I don't know a lot of these, which albums are which, but Black Sabbath, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, is that the big one? You guys know any ideas?
The big one is Black Sabbath.
Okay, well, isn't that what Black Sabbath, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath? Okay,
the
David
big
Bowie.
One is Fairy Wears Boots, but
David Bowie, Aladdin Sane.
Okay, Raw Power was 73.
Jackson Brown, For Every Man. That's Laszlo's favorite, is Jackson Brown. Alice Cooper, Billion Dollar Babies. Chicago, so you still got that stuff in there. Derek and the Dominoes, which we were talking about yesterday for some reason.
Oh, their one album, yeah.
The Doobie Brothers, The Captain and Me. But that one album had that hit on it. Layla, right?
Yeah, that's a huge hit. Just one album, yeah.
Dr. John.
Dr. John.
The Eagles, Desperado.
Okay.
Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
ELP.
Yeah. Don't confuse them with ELO.
All terrible music.
Robert Flack, Killing Me Softly. Okay.
Roberta Flack.
It is Roberta Flack. I'm a fucking idiot.
Killing
Sorry.
Me Softly.
Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On.
Right.
Genesis, another band that Laszlo
which
loves.
One?
Selling England by the Pound.
Is that with Peter Gabriel?
That's what I was wondering.
Like
I don't know which ones are Peter
on
Gabriel.
Brown, right?
In 73, it would still be Peter Gabriel, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
It must be. Grand Funk, We're an American Band. George Harrison, Living in the Material World. Iggy and the Stooges, Raw Power. Waylon Jennings. Jethro Tull, Billy Joel's Piano Man. Elton John.
What Jethro Tull record?
Let's see. Jethro Tull, A Passion Play. You know about Jethro Tull?
Of course, man.
Oh.
Who doesn't?
Thought the flute wasn't cool. I don't know. Elton John, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Aqualung? I'm just curious if that had Aqualung on it. Boy, that seems
look it
early
up, see.
For that.
Here you go, Snowcone. Led Zeppelin, Houses of the Holy. The band's fifth studio album went number one on the strength of tracks like Over the
Bungle
Hills and Far Away,
Jungle.
No Quarter, The Song Remains the Same. So, Led Zeppelin, you got to have one of those
such
if you're saying it's
album.
The best. John Lennon, Mind Games. You're a Lennon fan. Was Mind Games any good?
More McCartney fan. Mind Games is fine.
Okay. Little Feet, Dixie Chicken. Got to be honest, don't know what the hell that is. Lynyrd Skynyrd. So it says the new Southern rock band showed plenty of promise on their debut, even while many classic rock fans weren't quite sure what they were all about. The album reached a respectable 27 on the charts, but its closing tune titled Free Bird managed to last a few
ensuing decades.
That's the first
album that's pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Yeah. Well, I never understood that. Was that the name of it? Pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd? That was the name of the album?
Okay.
Yeah. You've got Marshall Tucker Band. Not a huge fan of them. Paul McCartney and Wings, Snowcone, Band on the Run.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Such a great album.
New York Dolls, New York Dolls.
New York Dolls.
Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. These are the albums they should be focusing on.
Okay, yeah, those are the big ones.
Queen, The Rolling Stones, Goat's Head Soup.
Jethro Tull. All right.
Linda Ronstadt, Don't Cry Now.
I understand, like, Locomotive Breath, and that stuff was 71.
Okay. Paul Simon. There goes Bruce Springsteen. I saw this earlier. Greetings from Asbury Park. That's big, right? Ringo Starr, Ringo. Who didn't love that? Steely Dan, Countdown to Ecstasy. I don't know much about Steely Dan. Yeah, but is that a big album for them? Did that have hits on it?
Which one?
No idea.
Steely Dan, Countdown to Ecstasy. Brooke's dad's a huge fan. I could ask him. Tower Power, The Wailers, Joe Walsh. There you go. Now you got something
Bob Marley
cool.
And The Wailers?
Yeah. The Wailers, Burning. Bob Marley led Jamaican group play. I don't know what songs are on that, though. Oh, Get Up, Stand Up. There you go. And yep. I Shot the Sheriff.
Yep.
Joe Walsh, The Smoker You Drink, The Player You Get. The Who. There's other. There's too many.
The
Stevie Wonder. Yes, You Don't Care About.
What was The Who record?
The Who. Where did The Who go? The Who was Quadrophenia.
Quadrophenia. That's great.
ZZ Top. Again, I focus on those big ones. I mean, I get okay. Zeppelin, yes. If you say
it doesn't feel Pink like Floyd, I mean, it feels Dark like Side of the Moon, year, it doesn't seem like that's the best year.
No, it really doesn't to me.
I mean, unless maybe if I just went year by year and they're more scattered.
They're just
than that,
huge but. Album.
Like, I'd
not
like
all
to,
those are huge, but there's like four or five that are huge on that.
I'd like to watch that documentary. I'm guessing it's still on there, and I just never saw it advertised.
Put
but
it
I'm,
on my
I'm
list.
Interested in that. But so, okay, you do have some debates about, you know, greatest year in classic rock or rock history, whatever you want to call it. But if you say, what's the greatest year in alternative rock history, you will get the same answer over and over and over again. It's 1994. And, I mean, when you start looking at what came out in 94, you realize you hit this pinnacle. Grunge had already blown up and all that. Like I said, if we break it down more, you can say 91 was the biggest year for grunge because it introduced the world to grunge. But in 94, you had all of these bands either premiere or put out huge albums. And these albums were selling like crazy. Snowcone, when you look at the sales for these albums, it's mind-blowing.
That
I mean,
yeah, they're making
Weezer sold
millions.
Like 15 million records.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I imagine being in Weezer and you finish that record and you think, you know, how's this going to go over? I don't think that they suspected that it would sell 15 million copies. Maybe they did. But, I mean, people were buying music then. And another thing that's interesting about 94 is you have a lot of these songs that are longer songs, Soundgarden songs that are 5-6 minutes long, right? And the radio played those songs. And people listened to those songs because you paid for your music. So, Eliza, are you looking at classic rock still? Are you trying to figure out?
No, yeah, okay. Just some of that stuff. Like, it doesn't really feel...
Yeah, I think that one is more debatable. But here, I'm going to give you 94 for alt-rock.
Okay.
You ready? These are albums that came out. Live, Throwing Copper.
Okay.
Bush, 16 Stone. The Cranberries, No Need to Argue. The Crow soundtrack, they put that on there. Tori Amos, okay. Toadies, Rubberneck. And these are getting more and more important as I go up. I'm starting at the bottom. Soul Coughing, Ruby Vroom. Dinosaur Jr. Without a Sound, which that had their only... You know, like radio. So I don't know if you call that a hit, but it's a song that people know. Yeah, even if they don't know it's Dinosaur Jr.,
but,
they've probably heard it before.
Feel the Pain?
Yeah.
Feel the Pain.
That's on that album, right? I'm pretty sure.
I would think
because
so.
I think I had that album. Corrosion of Conformity, Deliverance, Laszlo, pretends like he doesn't like COC.
I don't know much about them. They could be great.
I had a friend in school who loved it, and so I bought it. Reality Bites soundtrack, The Smashing Pumpkins, Pisces Iscariot, Bad Religion, Stranger Than Fiction, Sugar, File Under Easy Listening, Frank Black, Teenager of the Year,
okay.
Rollins Band, Wait. Man, I loved that album so much. And the fact that they were playing
Sugar's
Rollins
File
Band.
Under Easy Listening is one of my top 20
oh,
albums
that?
Of all time.
Oh,
top
really?
20 albums
okay.
of all time.
Okay, I was thinking...
It's so good.
When I saw this list earlier, I thought, I should go back and listen to some of these albums a little more. Most of them, or I shouldn't say most, but a lot of them I owned. Rollins Band, Wait, was so different than anything you'd ever heard before or seen before, and they were playing him on MTV. They played Liar on MTV. And Snowcone, did you ever go through a Rollins Band phase?
I did not.
It was such... It's one of those things that was out of my wheelhouse at that time. But the way that radio stations and MTV were, you know, kind of showing us this stuff, you had a really eclectic taste if you were young enough to be open-minded to it, because they were introducing you to all kinds of stuff. Rancid, Let's Go. Korn. Is that not hard to believe that came out that year?
Wow.
94?
Yeah.
So you're in the midst of this. Alternative has hit this giant
was Dookie 94?
Mass... that's the top album they put on there for 94.
Oh, sorry.
So, no, that's okay.
Spoil it.
But that was a huge album. And
that
Alan Crossing I was listening to, Snowcone, you like him,
mm-hmm.
the Canadian guy, he was saying he has this theory that when Kurt Cobain died, there was like this kind of, you know, lethargy. Yeah, and just people were sad and what are they going to do? And that Dookie came out at kind of the perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard for me to believe that Korn, that first album, came out during
like
that time.
Later,
I think, yeah, because in my mind, I switched over to that a little bit later. But no, this stuff was still going on. Stone Temple Pilots, Purple. Veruca Salt, American Thighs. Helmet, Betty.
You know, Everlong was written about her.
Helmet?
What? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Helmet, Betty came out.
Wait.
Everlong was written about the girl from Veruca Salt. At least that's the rumor.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, you thought it was written about the guy from Helmet? Is that what you thought for a second?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Helmet, Betty. Well, that was the only Helmet album I had.
I don't think it's a rumor. I think he admits it. But,
yeah. Okay. Oasis, Definitely Maybe. Yeah. Not a bad record there. Liz Phair, Whip Smart. Offspring, Smash. This was the year that kids got introduced to
Offspring. What year did Exile in Guyville come out?
I don't know. But in 94, Whip Smart came out.
Eliza loves that record.
But
Exile in Guyville?
Yeah.
I think it's another top 20 record. It's perfect.
Offspring, Smash came out in 94.
Oh, Smash was huge.
An independent record that was being handed out and, you know, didn't have like a lot of support. You didn't have a big major label saying, hey, we got another alt hit here. That was truly like almost like a viral album. I feel like if you look back, it was kind of pre-internet. That Offspring album felt like a viral album. Everyone talked about it. People would bring a copy. You'd go buy a copy. It was huge.
There's a documentary about the record label.
Mm-hmm.
And
were they on Epitaph?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you watch it, they talk about how they put that record out. They didn't think anybody would play it. It was what it was. And then all of a sudden, radio stations started playing it a little bit, and they started selling a bunch of records. And they would have to put the records in the back of a truck by themselves. But if you watch that documentary, they have a whiteboard of radio stations that are playing it. And the first time they have it up there is the station that I programmed.
Oh, that's cool.
I was the only one playing it.
Like, it says it up there?
It just says WPLA on it. I mean, it doesn't say me or anything. You just have to stop
and
say
it.
Yeah, I knew it. WPLA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then that, I don't get like, you know, like when I was programming Station Florida 2, we played Blink-182's M&M's.
That's crazy.
Well before
when you listen to read about Blink's history, they were not getting support at that point.
To me, when I heard it.
Like Cheshire Cat?
Cheshire Cat.
Yeah.
Wow. But that song was just so, you know, like maybe I should take my toaster in the bath or whatever.
You had to be one of the only ones. I mean,
I remember they came and played and people were asking. I remember people asking, calling the radio station asking, why is Blink-182 opening for Green Day?
Okay.
Why shouldn't Green Day open for Blink-182?
Wow.
Because that song was so popular in North Florida.
That's crazy because of the radio station. Yeah, that's like that thing we were talking about.
It's kind of like one of those things back then you never knew. You asked if the radio station, we played M&M's 50 times a week. So to people who lived in North Florida,
it's a hit.
They were like, this band's massive.
They're huge.
Yeah, but because you don't,
it's
there's
regional.
No internet.
Right, right, yep. It's crazy how that works. I mean, look, we've seen it here in recent history. We live in Kansas City, broadcast out of Kansas City, and, it, you know, in the last, 10 and 20 years that we've been doing this, we've seen bands that we were early on or first on, and they're huge here. And you, even me, I'll get this idea in my head that these bands are huge, and then I find out they're going to the next city, and there's going to be a tenth as many people there, you know, that this is their biggest show.
It really feels like this 94, what you're talking about, though, is just grunge records.
Oh, no, but there's, you know, Blur, Park Life came out, don't forget Offspring, and, you know, Liz Phair, all that stuff that I just said, I really even haven't said a ton of grunge yet. R.E.M., Monster, Sonic Youth, okay, still scrolling, I got stuck. The Meat Puppets, Too High to Die, that came out in 94 because at that point, everyone had been introduced to them through Nirvana's Unplugged, including me and my friends and
I
their
think
brothers.
Everyone, yeah.
And so that was, I thought at the time, though, I was telling Lazo earlier, I thought that album was old. I thought we were buying like an 80s album because we'd been introduced
that
to them.
Kurt White.
Yeah, I didn't know that they put out a new record. At least that's not how I remember it. Here you go, Alice in Chains, Jar of Flies. And, I mean, that's a huge record. And also at that point, that's when the band is having troubles and Lane is struggling and all that.
Yep.
Beck, Mellow Gold. So Loser is also part of 94.
I thought Loser's on Odelay.
No, Beck, Mellow Gold had Loser
Gold
on it.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
It was the only good song on there, in my opinion. But everyone bought it. No,
Odelay
came later. But, dude, Mellow Gold was massive. It was. I mean, every kid in my grade had that effing album. It was crazy. That song was massive. We did a thing in school at one point where we did this exchange. We named our money after Beck. Like, kids were obsessed with Wow. With
you your money after huge. Back. What do you mean?
We had this Exchange City thing, and we had to create a little fake city.
Oh, man, I loved Exchange City.
Yeah,
you
did that?
Kidding me?
Yeah. And so
I did it.
We called our money back.
Loved Exchange City.
Because it was the whole thing. But I'm just trying to point out that he was massive. Like, every kid that I knew who listened to music, was into music, had that record at the time. Beastie Boys, Ill Communication, 94. Now, Stone Cone, I know you're not a Beastie Boys fan, but you got to remember, they sold about a trillion records, and Ill Communication was massive, and it's just crazy that that's all coming out. The Ill Communication and The Offspring and all these albums are coming out in the same year. Pearl Jam Vitalogy, 94.
Wow.
Hole lived through this.
Lived through
94.
This.
Nice. That's when everyone, you know, if you had any doubts about Courtney Love, you no longer had those doubts after Lived Through This, right? I mean, even if you didn't want to like Courtney Love, if you liked Nirvana, you liked good music, you had to like that record. Johnny Cash, American Recordings. This is when Johnny first realizes, I'm not going to get played on country radio anymore. I got to try and get played on alt-rock radio.
Was that him and Rubin's first album?
I think so. I mean, American Recordings in 94, wasn't that the first? Maybe it wasn't the first. I just assumed that it was.
That can't be Rick Rubin's first one.
Well, go back and look and see what his first one was, but that's American Recordings. It's 94. Now, more grunge. Soundgarden, Super Unknown,
right,
which I think sold about like 10 million copies or something. Nirvana, MTV Unplugged, which I think the Unplugged album sold about a trillion copies. Now you've got an album that not only does every kid who liked music
that
migrate
over. That was Rick Rubin and Johnny Cash's first album together. I thought that was way later.
That's what I was thinking for some reason, 94. Unplugged was so big that even the kids who didn't really listen to music had that. They played it at the skating rink. That made no sense to be playing it, but Nirvana's Unplugged.
Oh, yeah.
It was just massive. And I'll be honest, I loved it then. I love it now. Jeff Buckley, Grace, the one and only. Then you've got Weezer's Blue Album. In the midst of all this other stuff, now you've got Weezer introducing us to a new kind of alt-rock.
See, the way you talked about Beck was at my school, we talked about Weezer's Blue Album. I remember I was at a basketball practice.
Oh, we loved Weezer, too.
And they wanted to come up with a name for the team, and the kids were like, let's call us the Weezer.
Okay.
The Weezer?
Yeah, and I was like, what?
It's the same kind of stuff. Yeah. No, they were massive, and that was another album that then, if you didn't have, you bought. Everyone bought the Blue Album, and the videos were on MTV all the time.
Yeah.
I think that record sold like 15 million copies or something.
It had to have.
And people credit Weezer with kind of ushering
this
in.
This is hard to break down, though. I don't know. Like that, I like all those records, but they don't.
Nine Inch Nails, The Downward Spiral.
Downward Spiral. Man.
Green Day, Dookie. If you just look at it overall, if you want to break it down into subgenres or go specifically grunge or specifically.
It's got to be that. And that's why they're saying that.
No, for grunge, I think they say it's actually like 91 because that's when all those songs came out. But by 94, alternative music is huge. Alternative radio has gotten huge. And they're playing alternative rock on MTV all the time. Which they wouldn't always do, you know. That was not a permanent thing, and these albums sold like crazy. They were huge. They were on pop radio and alternative rock radio. So '94, you just kind of hit this peak of you still had grunge albums that were selling like crazy. Nirvana's Unplugged, you know, probably sold a trillion copies.
But if I look like I just pulled up '89,
mm-hmm.
just to throw it out there, Doolittle, New Order's Technique, The Jesus and Mary Chain, Automatic, Bob Mould's Workbook, Ian McCullough, Candleland, My Bloody Valentine, The Replacements, Don't Tell a Soul, XTC, Oranges and Lemons.
Okay, but see, I feel like you're breaking it down to, as a music fan, a huge music fan, what's your favorite year? I think they're saying, what was the most profitable year for alternative rock?
Huge records.
When did all rock get the most exposure? It got the most exposure by 94.
Was Pretty Hate Machine popular when it came out, though?
I don't remember it being played much.
Everybody had it.
I didn't know if that got popular.
My friend had it.
I mean, I
for
love
sure.
that record.
But they, you know, the thing I was reading made it sound like the Nine Inch Nails album that came in 94 was his first big hit, because it charted. I don't remember where it charted, but it was
right,
it was
Pretty
up
Hate
there.
Machine, I thought it got popular after.
Maybe it did. I don't know. I thought that they said that, which Nine Inch Nails album did I say came out in 94? I'm not a huge Nine Inch Nails fan.
The Downward Spiral.
Yeah. So, and there was some song on there, what was the big hit off there, off Downward Spiral? I mean, that does seem like his
it was the ballad.
Later album to me. Yeah, it was the long song, right? What the hell's
no,
the name of
it? No, it was the ballad. It was Hurt.
Yeah, Hurt.
Was on
Downward
Spiral. Oh,
wait, Hurt. But that was that a hit?
Yeah, Hurt was Downward Spiral.
I thought Hurt became a hit later. Okay. Also,
Pretty Hate Machine had like a hole down in
like
it, something
hole.
I could never have, Terrible Lie. I mean, that was a massive album.
It's certainly a better album. And see, that's another thing, like regionally, whatever alternative station I was listening to in 94 locally, those songs weren't getting played. I don't think they played Hurt. I didn't hear Hurt until later because I wasn't a huge fan of his, didn't hate him at all. I had friends who were obsessed, I even went to see him one time. I paid for a ticket to go see him because I wanted to see what it was all about. But I was never a huge fan, so,
yeah, so
they didn't play that song here.
Pretty Hate Machine is the first independently released record to garner triple platinum certification.
Okay.
Three million copies sold in the United States. It spent 115 weeks on the Billboard 200 chart.
Okay.
So it actually tied the Downward Spiral as their longest charting effort.
Okay.
Well, there you
All right. Yeah, they've got this other one's got it ranked as the fourth best album of 94, Downward Spiral. And Pearl Jam's Vitalogy coming in at number five. But yeah, I mean, again, I understand you can break it down into these sub.
It just feels like that's things, really, I guess, 91.
That's when grunge was lit on fire.
Started to take off.
I see why
they're saying that, but I don't know.
In 91, you had A Man in the Box, and then shortly after that, Smells Like Teen Spirit, which is obviously the song. Then Pearl Jam has a hit, and then Soundgarden has a hit.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that is in 91. So
Right. Kids
like us in the suburbs, that was when we got introduced to grunge music. Holy crap. You know, we got to buy all these
albums.
It
just seems like that's such a specific genre that it should be like, this is the greatest year in grunge.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
That would
but
be
it's
the
not necessarily the greatest year in
No, that's what I was saying. If
alternative
you break,
rock.
No, that's exactly what I said. If you're breaking
it's
it down
hard to break
categories.
Down because now you like go back a little bit and you're like, well, what were the greatest years in like that, you know, second wave? You
sure,
know,
you
like,
can break
oh,
it down
that
into
stuff.
All these.
So I don't know, but I would think like the late 80s were better for alternative. Like
as a music fan, maybe, right?
Well, even like things that have stuck around, because think about like what? How many grunge bands have really stuck around? You got Pearl Jam, like their music
Pearl
at least.
Jam,
Pearl Jam,
Nirvana,
Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Nirvana.
Yeah. Which all put out big
half
albums
Bush,
in 94.
Right?
Weezer.
You got four and a half of grunge bands. Like you got four bands and then half.
And you got Green Day, you got Weezer.
Right, and then you got that pop punk sound, right?
Right.
But in the late 80s, you've got, you know, just when I think, and maybe it is just music guys or girls, but you got the Pixies, you got Jane's Addiction.
But MTV was barely playing that if they played it at all.
Those weren't selling.
So
like,
they weren't selling.
Like
you know,
we
MTV
said
was
that,
still.
But we just Pretty Hate Machine sold 3 million copies.
Right, but I'm just saying, like overall, MTV was still at that point. It was Guns N' Roses.
Right.
Still some
hair metal,
because it really wasn't until Smells Like Teen Spirit that it pushed the hair metal stuff down for good. Right. It was like, okay, I think. Hair metal is over.
I don't know, but just from what I know now.
Well, even when I was reading about Nevermind, you know, they talk about Smells Like Teen Spirit being the song that the people who are sick of all the hair bands and everything else, it was their anthem, and it was, boom, you know, this would bring death to hair metal. Which you've heard that lots of places that Nirvana killed hair metal, that grunge killed
like
hair metal.
That's like just the official story.
Right. So no. I get it. If you're a fan, you could say this year's the best, this year's the best.
I mean, people
but by
always
94,
say that it killed hair metal, but it also killed the Smiths and the Psychedelic
exactly
Curves.
Right. The good stuff.
More. It wasn't great. 80s
alt music. Exactly.
Great. It killed Kate Bush. It killed all the stuff that was on the radio before that. It killed everything. So people are like, oh, that's good. It killed Skid Row. But
and
it
was
also
just ripping
killed
off the Pixies
it
and the Beatles.
Well, Sonic Youth. I always think of Nirvana as Sonic Youth and the Pixies. Just
I think it's Sonic Youth, New York, the Beatles, and Pixies all.
Yeah, he knew how to write a hook. You know what I mean? He knew how to make
the
song.
He openly said he's ripping off the Beatles and then the Pixies' Quiet Loud part.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyhow, I think if you look at overall exposure, I understand their argument for 94 because you've got so many album sales. It's dominating MTV, and alternative rock was dominating pop music. You know, a lot of the pop charts at that point were playing alternative songs.
Mm-hmm.
So that would change shortly after. You're about to get NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears because by the late 90s and the post-grunge era, you get into that big pop scene, right? And music felt kind of lost until the White Stripes.
That's why 2001 is probably my biggest year, because that's when that new metal and the pop kind of went away from when I found the Strokes and the White Stripes,
the Hives
and the Vines. And
yeah, the
Vampire
bands,
Weekend
the
came around
bands
that
came
long
about.
After, yeah.
And once again, you never know you're living in history when you're living in it.
No.
Right.
You just think, oh, these albums are good, you know, because it's never going to be as good as the 90s again. We can't do that. And then you look back at the 2000s, and depending on your age, that could be your favorite decade for
sure. Okay, so what song are we going to play now?
Well, Laszlo's choice.
Doesn't matter. I'm just.
You want to do? You want to do something
Man,
from
Paul's
this year?
Boutique came out in 1989 too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. De La Soul, 3 feet high and rising.
That's
I think
such a good.
I think
was
Paul's
89.
Boutique didn't sell so
the
well.
The Cure, Disintegration, The Stone Roses.
De La Soul was 89.
Yep. New Order, Technique.
I think Laszlo makes a great point, though, to remember they always Lou say Reed's Nirvana New killed York. Hair metal, but he did also kill
yes,
80s alt and the British invasion, all that new stuff, wave, the new wave. And a lot of that was good damn music.
Okay,
I know you're not
a
fan,
song.
So
Nirvana's Bleach came out that year, too, in 89.
Right, but no one listened
no one
to
got
it
that, yeah.
So, didn't sell.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, so can you doesn't pick a song? Just play a song.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
What are you doing?
We're going to do the news coming up, my man.
Right. I was watching Elvis Costello, that famous Saturday Night Live thing he did.
Seen that. I think that they always put that on the list of top SNL performances.
It's got to be, right?
What's always number one? Ashley Simpson, maybe? Mm. No, they, I mean, I feel like I know what this is. Oh, Beastie Boys is on there, too, for one that they did.
Well, when Elvis Costello came back, because he was banned for 12 years.
Oh, that's right. The whole band thing.
He was banned for 12 years for doing Radio.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking at BuzzFeed to see what they
have. And then when he came back, the Beastie Boys came out and did Radio with him.
That's what it is. Okay, so they probably is the number one.
Number one is Jack White, 2020.
Oh, that's BuzzFeed. Are you looking at BuzzFeed?
Yeah, two is Nirvana. Three is Elvis Costello.
Okay.
Four, Blues Brothers. Kanye. Six is Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, see, the list I always see is the older stuff. It didn't have the
seven
the
Bowie,
newer stuff in
eight
there.
White Stripes, nine Billie Eilish, and 10 Outkast.
Okay. Mm. Well, I think you're. I mean, the Nirvana one I know is in there. I knew that
Kanye's
there was something to do with the Beastie
really
Boys.
Good ones on there.
But God, I thought there was some other. Oh, Pearl Jam. They had like a huge performance on SNL, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I'm just again looking back to my youth. I didn't continue to watch a lot of SNL in the 2000s. I think I was probably kind of done watching it. Now I only catch it if, you know, like Ryan Gosling's hosting or something, but I don't watch it. I've got friends who watch it.
Yeah, I got friends who...
They like watching SNL. Snowcone will tell me sometimes about a sketch
that
he saw.
Man, that Beavis and Butthead skit.
People love that.
That one of the best skits they've done.
Did you see what
years.
They did recently? I saw the headline, but didn't look at it. They showed up as Beavis and Butthead.
I saw they were going to like reprise it at like one of his movie premieres.
Yeah, that's what they did. For whatever that stuntman movie's called that's coming out.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we're going to do the news coming up. And
have this one listed, which is good if you get a chance to see it, is Fear. In 1981, played Saturday Night Live and came out and did Beef Bologna and New York's All Right if you like saxophones.
That's weird that
How
I've never
cool
seen
was
that.
1981.
You'd think that they would put that on there for those early ones. I've never seen that. We will do the news next. I don't have any SNL best of list for the news, but I do have something for Snow Cone. Your guy, Koberger. Is in the news, my man.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah. You didn't know this?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll get you updated. Plus, you know, Trump, I think, might be going to jail. I'm really not sure how this stuff works. I made that clear yesterday. Someone on Twitch gets really mad at us.
Yeah.
I literally yesterday said, listen, I don't know what this particular Stormy Daniels case
is
about.
It's pretty convoluted because there's so many of them.
What is he in trouble for? I openly said that, right? I said, I don't understand what he's in trouble for.
Well, we have been talking about that it was...
It's for
campaign
fraudulently,
stuff, but it's not.
It's for fraudulently
it's like
cooking the books.
Yeah.
It's for how they cooked the books to pay her.
But and it's so, not so what he did, conceivably, at least what I looked up afterwards, you can use campaign funds for that.
It probably
would have
been better if they hadn't cooked
if
the books.
If he had just said, I'm giving it to her to sign an NDA about our history, that would have been fine.
It would have been better than where he's at.
But now, because he just paid for it under the table... That's the problem.
And they created these fake businesses or whatever the hell they did. But I said that, didn't I, Snowcone? I said, explain it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get someone on Twitch who just, you know, look, I already said I'm an idiot. That doesn't mean that you have to continue to call me an idiot and talk to me like an idiot. I openly said I have not been following it. Tell me what the case is about. You explained it, but boy, I mean, you were a little rude, right?
Mm-hmm.
You saw those comments coming in yesterday like, hey, guys, I'm dumb. I love you being here to explain these things to me, but, you know... Let me call myself an idiot. I don't need you calling me an idiot, too. Anyhow, we'll do the news coming up next. You'll see what an idiot I am.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
We're doing the news, my man.
Yeah.
So, again, I said it yesterday. I'll say it again today. I'm not smart. I misinterpret what I read oftentimes.
Well, you're also got hit in the head the other day. So.
I've got a recent head injury. So I am more than willing to have people explain these things to me so that I have a better understanding of what's actually going on. And you can do that on Twitch, twitch.com/twitch.tv. Sorry, twitch.tv/churchoflaszlo. And that's where people actually tell me what the hell is going on. Right. It's turned into me playing you a clip of some news and then looking around and saying, do you guys know what this means? So,
play us a clip of the news. We'll tell you.
Okay, so Arizona, this has been a big story. I see a lot of people talking about this Arizona abortion ban. I don't live in Arizona, so, you know, I tend to skip those things. And I can't get an abortion, so, you know, it doesn't really affect me, but I know I should be a good ally, right? But this abortion ban in Arizona seemed pretty crazy, and it took some people crossing party lines to make some changes in Arizona.
New fallout this morning after Arizona's historic repeal of a strict Civil War era abortion ban. The state Senate on Wednesday rolling back a controversial 1864 law that would ban nearly all abortions with no exceptions for rape or incest, only for the life of a mother. Protesters on both sides heated outside the state's capitol and inside shouting from the gallery as two GOP lawmakers broke ranks with their party to join Democrats to ban the law, including one Republican married to a state Supreme Court justice who reinstated it.
What? How crazy is that? Right? That's confusing. So one of the Republicans that crossed party lines, her husband is the state Supreme Court justice who reinstated it.
So they disagree.
So they must. He reinstated this 1864 ban on abortions.
So she's like,
what the hell is going on in this country? Anyway, they've got a Democratic governor, Katie Hobbs. And so, she's, I guess, signed this ban. It says Democratic Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs has relegated a Civil War-era ban on most abortions to the past by signing a repeal bill Thursday. So there you go. That's the big thing in Arizona. I didn't know they had an 1864 abortion ban. Okay. You know, I understand that we're divided in this country, but we don't have to go to these extremes on both sides, you know?
Yeah, no, but we will.
But we do. And it's like, do we have to do that? Could we... Well, I think we get along more than you think.
But it feels like, it feels like these are elected officials, not people. I feel like people in general would, I think maybe they're like, hey, look, I don't love abortion.
Right.
So let's put some restrictions on it. But then, I don't know. I feel like that's where we are. But then also, I'm like, I feel like we'd be that way on guns, too. And we ain't there. So whatever. I feel like just a common ground where you could be like, hey, this may make things better. But instead, we don't do that.
I feel like if you go back to the 60s, 70s, 80s, and you think about sci-fi books or movies that were made about the future, oftentimes taking place around this time, right? Blade Runner, things like that. I don't think that they thought we'd be talking about an 1864 ban on abortion in a massive state like Arizona. Like, it's gotten so dumb. The one who got it right
was actually kind of shocked.
Mike Judge.
How dumb I am. I'm like, I didn't know you could get an abortion in 1864.
Apparently,
I just thought it was
seriously.
I just thought it was a roll of the dice. Only 50% of the kids live anyway.
Totally with you.
Right. Yeah. The dentist was also like the guy that fixed the wheel on your wagon. I mean,
right. But I didn't know they had the idea. Like,
I'm
hey,
with you. I'm
you
with
don't
you.
Want to have this kid. I just thought
how
kids
did they do
died.
It? How did they do it then? That's what. Yeah. I didn't know that either, and it kind of makes you wonder. Like, what did they do? I don't know enough about it anyway, but I'm sure it was dangerous. Whatever they did must have been not great.
Very dangerous.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here knowing nothing about it and say you don't want an 1863-style abortion. Mm-hmm. That's why they banned it in 64.
Hey, by the way, that's a good name for a ban.
Which one? 1863 abortion ban or 1864? What's the name of the band?
1864 abortions.
Okay, 1864 abortions.
The first recorded evidence of induced abortion is from Egyptian...
Okay, so they were
1550 BCE.
Okay, so that's quite a while ago. It's been going on for a while.
Women would just do strenuous labor.
They're like, hey,
climbing,
just climb these rocks. I wondered if that was it. Like, hey, just carry these rocks around. All the things you're not supposed to do when you're pregnant, and you'll have a miscarriage.
I guess.
Interesting. They didn't put that in the Ridley Scott movie about Egypt, and that's really all I know about Egypt. Okay, this viral video. Have you guys seen the viral video of the guys on the boat? I'm sure Snowcone's seen it by now. Where they take the big garbage can and they dump trash in
that's
the ocean.
Crazy, man.
Just douchebags. And there's a drone. If you haven't seen
douchebags.
It, can you play that video on Twitch?
Yeah, I'll come get it.
There's a drone following this boat. I don't know, Lazo. Have you seen this
no.
video? Of the guys throwing the trash in the water. They're on this boat. They've got a big trash can, whatever, you know, like the giant rubber trash cans that you'd have at home. The 50-gallon, 80-gallon, I don't know how many gallons, but it's the big one. And it's filled with trash. There's a couple of them, right? And they go out into the water, away from the shore, and just dump all their crap into the ocean.
The cops showed up, so they take off to get rid of evidence.
Yeah, and then there's cops, and they're driving off. So now that video has gone viral. There are local officials in Boca Raton or whatever who've said, look, this video has become like an international incident now. We have to find these guys. So the police are hunting those guys down, Snowcone. I don't know if you saw that.
This has become a worldwide story. I mean, the world is watching this.
The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission telling NBC News its investigation is ongoing and that several suspects have already been identified.
We are identifying the subjects that were involved in the illegal dumping of trash in our marine environment.
The headlines say the public is outraged, which, I mean, that's why it went viral. You don't even have to be an environmentalist to be outraged by this douchebaggery. You're allowed to be a douchebag in your 20s, but just, you know, you don't right. have to take it that far. You don't have to take your giant garbage can and not only
yeah,
dump
why,
it.
Why, though? Like, why dump it?
Are you trying right. to go viral? They're looking at the camera on the drone and smiling.
It's not like
laughing.
One thing. You know what I mean? It's not right. like you're on the boat and you're drunk and you throw a case of beer
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
And I get it. You shouldn't. And people would
but
be
in
pissed,
your 20s,
but
you're you
like,
might
whatever,
do
man. I was right. hammered. I don't.
In your 20s,
I threw my
you don't
McDonald's
care.
In the water. Screw you.
Yep.
This is certainly more than that.
No, yeah, and this is like we want to make you angry. That's the impression I got, right? Like, look at us. What are you going to do about it?
And I also like to say, when abortion comes to Greece, Aristotle, who we all like and admire,
mm-hmm. good, good
and
president.
We still talk about for quite some time.
I think he was the sixth president.
He said that an embryo didn't have a human soul.
Oh, okay. So he figured out and, Aristotle knew.
Yeah, it didn't have a human soul. If it was a male,
yeah.
it got a human soul after 40 days.
Okay.
And if it was a female, it took 90 days.
Oh, because the souls are more refined? They're,
or I guess, you know,
you got more time to do a
little
birth
more
girl.
Time to be like, hey.
We understand you don't. How the hell did they know if it was a girl or a boy? They didn't have ultrasounds.
I think that's alive.
Oh, my God.
I think that's what that's saying.
Oh, okay. So, wow. Yeah, no, that's not great. I don't like that.
Aristotle considered the embryo to gain a human soul. Oh, no, it says that 40 days of male, 90 days of female. So
how would they know?
They considered it a vegetable.
My pregnancy is, I'm holding it lower. It must be a girl or whatever that stuff was they did back then. How the hell would they know? Anyway, the cops say that there were 10 people on that boat that dumped the trash, and they have identified several of them, and they're trying to find the rest of them, and the public is trying to help. But now they're saying, you know, what should the punishment be? Because Florida law states that it's a first-degree misdemeanor for anyone who throws more than 50 pounds of garbage in the public waterways. The offense is punishable by up to a year in jail and $1,000 fine. Now, normally when I see that stuff, I go, yeah, but you're not going to get the maximum.
Yeah,
load.
But you might this time
but
because
you
it's
pissed
small.
People off. Yeah.
Well, also because that I don't. When they wrote that law, they probably were like, well, nobody's going to do as much as he did.
Right.
We're putting a number on this.
50 pounds.
Right. 50 pounds is a lot, but it's not. It's a large trash bag.
A couple, couple trash cans right. for sure. Yeah. I mean, a trash can that big could hold 50 pounds. I think if aluminum cans are in it, it's probably not. But we can all say with those two trash cans, we'll just agree that it was at least 50 pounds.
Oh yeah.
And I think they're going to want to give these guys serious punishment because.
Right.
Public is outraged. We're talking about the middle of the country, and that's what those representatives are saying there. We got to find these guys and do something because we don't want people to think that this is funny or to become a viral trend or whatever. You know, my thing is, too, like, I feel like you can throw trash in the man-made lake. I mean, you shouldn't, right?
You can't throw trash
but
in the man-made lake.
I see people throw trash in the lake, and I'm like, this lake is already a dump. But when you're at...
No.
Yeah, I see that. I'm saying, I don't like it. I've never done it. I promise you, I've never thrown trash in the water. I'm not a litterer, though. I don't like to litter. I pick up your trash and put it in the trash for you, like, almost every day. Yeah. So I'm not a litterer.
Yeah, it's, like,
but
extra bad to me to throw it in water.
Throwing it in water is bad, but to me...
I don't know why.
Running
in it.
Right, but to me, that's what I'm saying.
Because you're using it for leisure.
Right.
It's different than throwing something out on the freeway. You're just driving by it.
There's also fishing.
But I'm actually swimming. Right. There's other life and creatures,
right.
and you're killing them. And,
right.
But, yeah, I mean, you are swimming in it.
Right. So what? All I'm
so
saying is...
So don't throw trash out
when
there.
Someone
it's different. I'm not saying you should throw it on the freeway, but it's completely different. If I throw a bag of McDonald's out on the freeway, yeah, it's stupid, but everything going by it is going at 80 miles an hour just burning gas.
And someone...
There's something to it. Whereas if I just throw it out on the beach... You're
right.
there with your kid, and all of a sudden, you know, McDonald's comes floating up. You're like, come on, man.
Right.
And it's just different.
All I'm saying
I throw my cigarettes on the ground. I don't throw them in the ocean.
But I'm agreeing with you that you shouldn't do...
Snow cone.
You shouldn't do any of it.
I understand why.
I'm agreeing with you. What I'm saying is when I see someone throw trash in the lake, I go, ugh. When I see someone throw trash in the blue water at Boca Raton, and I already hear all this stuff about coral reefs and everything else, I think that's even worse. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I would say, you know,
throwing trash in the lake, you're like,
lake.
Wish they wouldn't do
freeway.
That. Yeah. And also, I just see people throw trash in the lake a lot, so I'm kind of used to it. But I don't like it. It does bother me a little bit. So remember Trump? He was president. He's running for president again.
No, Mr. M says Lake of the Ozark is a giant trash can.
So they throw so much trash in there. You get used to seeing it. Again, I don't like it, but I see it constantly. So Trump got fined $9,000 or whatever it was.
Yeah, I heard that.
For violating the gag order.
I'll violate your gag order.
I don't know how the gag order works, but he went back out on the campaign trail and started calling the judge a dummy. So I don't know if that violates it or not.
I got to do two of these things a day. You know why? Because I'm in New York all the time with the Biden trial.
Mr. Trump also taking new swipes at the judge in his hush money trial.
I don't think there's ever been a more conflicted judge. Crooked and conflicted.
The same judge who earlier this week slapped the former president with a $9,000 fine for repeatedly violating a gag order that prohibits him from attacking witnesses and jurors, and a warning that he could face jail time in the future.
Okay, so to me, this is like the most Trump thing ever. He gets fined $9,000. The gag order says you cannot talk about witnesses or jurors. Sounds to me like you can talk about the judge. So he goes out on the campaign trail and says, this guy, what did he say? I don't know, whatever he said. This guy's crooked and something else, because he realizes I'm allowed to do that. So I guess he probably won't get in trouble. That doesn't violate the gag order. I'm basing all of that off of what that guy from Network News said. You can't talk about jurors and witnesses.
Is that what a gag order is? I thought a gag order was, and again,
can't talk about the trial.
You can't talk about the trial, period, right?
Well, that's what I thought, too. But in that little excerpt that I watched, he said this
gag orders are specific.
I think that sounds like they came because they said this gag order violates him from talking about witnesses and jurors. So I guess he can call the judge a dummy. I don't know. We'll see. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Snow Cone, Koberger guy. Laszlo, you know, he doesn't love the Koberger conviction. He thinks they were a little laser-focused or had tunnel vision with Koberger. Snow Cone's been following it very closely. Well, the judge has something to say about what's been going on leading up to this trial.
I've never seen anybody more crooked or stupid than that judge.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
All
right, talk to me.
We're finishing the news. Laszlo, are you an emoji user? I'm trying to think. You use them a little bit, but not heavily.
I think I use a wink and a laugh.
But you use the actual face. You don't make the emoji with the symbols.
No.
Like the old school.
Emoticon.
Thank you. You use the actual emojis. I feel like it depends on who you're talking to. Some people use them. My mom, my mom uses them, yes, so I will use them. She sends me the kissy face. I know she sends it to you, too.
I send it back to squirting water.
Okay. So, anyhow, they're popular. And if you guys watch that thing on Netflix about that documentary that came out a couple weeks ago about 4chan, it's interesting. They talk about the history of emojis, and that in Japan, when people were using the internet, they had limited data, and they're using like flip phones back then, and they're trying to communicate. But because they had such limited data, they came up with using emojis, and that's why emojis are so popular in Japan. It's probably why we have emojis here. Anyhow, now emojis are popular, and Google has said, hey, we want to add something to the emoji world. How about?
Because I don't know, is Apple own the emoji? Like, who owns the emojis?
There was a big debate for years about, can we please get the emojis to line up? Because for a long time, if you sent a smirk from an iPhone to an Android phone, they might get a different enough smirk that it didn't make sense. That it was like lost in translation sometimes. They tried to get it close. My understanding now, I guess you could try texting my Android phone. But my understanding now is that they've made them the same. Someone on Twitch can tell us if that's
Android
right.
Android people text me and it comes across as like the...
Right, on yours it will always look like that, but are we getting the same messages?
What do theirs look like?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but anyway, I think they've done that, but now Google has said, we're going to add something to the emoji world. How about audio emojis? You don't have to send an image, you can just send a clip that someone else has already made for you. Honestly, I kind of like it. Okay? You can laugh at you?
that's what they came up with?
Well, they said those are some of the examples.
So
I don't
horrible.
Know.
The quality's horrible.
I don't know why that is. That's the one that they sent, and I thought, is this a joke or what? But they
it's
said
like
these
audio
are
emojis from the some, 70s.
There's going to be a bunch of them, supposedly. Well, I don't know. They said there'll be much more than that, and they're trying to get audio emojis to become a thing. So I guess Android users will get to use that. I don't know if iPhone users will get to use them or not. I kind of like the idea. People like to be sarcastic with us on Twitch all the time.
Sure.
You know, they send us the clapping. It's good job, idiot. Mm-hmm. You figured it out. Stuff like that. I think the sounds would be good for them. You know, they could send us the cheers. I guess they sort of do that on Twitch already. So,
but I usually have my volume down. I don't know that.
It's... Oh, yeah, I do too. I always have my volume down. You know what? Why do you have your volume down all the time? Do you have a reason? Yeah. Can I ask?
Just so I don't hear it all the time?
Yeah, that's it. It's just you just want your phone silent?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's why.
I also leave my volume down all the time in case, like,
same.
You get in the car and Bluetooth connects and you forgot that you had, you know.
Porn,
like,
on?
It's just something, a video of someone dying on Reddit
or
porn or whatever.
I open up, like, you know, Instagram or whatever, and it goes to a reel and I'm not ready for it. It just starts playing real loud.
That too.
You know?
Yes. If you're scrolling through Instagram
silent.
And then all of a sudden you accidentally hit it, so
when
the sounds are.
I decide to start watching a video, then I turn the volume
turn
on.
It up,
to
sure.
Yeah. 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 The people who have their phone ringing all the time, it surprises me. I'm like, why?
Who the hell still
why
has
do you
a ringer
that?
On?
I hear it. I mean, you go out in public and people have got their
people
phone
still
ringing.
Have ringers on?
Oh, yes. Some of them still
of
have
course,
custom rings of rappers and stuff.
Really?
Yes. Do you go out ever? You don't hear these phones ringing?
Not really.
Yeah, no. People still have their phones ringing. Especially, it looks like a generational thing. I think a lot of women, like maybe in their, what would you say, 50s, 60s, I see their phones ringing a lot in public.
Well, I think
it's in their purse.
It.
And they can't feel it vibrate in their purse. So
my phone
hasn't
been
on
silence since 2014.
I know. Since ever. When they came out with vibrate on cell phones, I remember my buddy getting a flip phone that had vibrate, and I was like, I have to get that now.
Right.
That was like the biggest advancement to me. I was like, well, that's great, because now I never have to hear this stupid thing again. Anyhow, I guess Google is going to be adding audio emojis. The last one I said, Cher might be available. She was.
I know she said she likes to date younger guys because all the guys her age are dead.
That's part of what she said, yes. And she also said, and I don't know if this is true or not, but she said that the reason she dated younger guys or dates younger guys is because guys her age were always intimidated by her. Now, I find that odd. You would think that the younger guy would be intimidated by Cher, right? Sonny and Cher. You watch her on TV, you think she's hot, you're younger. I don't know. I would think that's intimidating. She says the people her age were the ones intimidated by her.
I'm really shy when I'm not working and kind of shy around men. And the reason I got with young men is because men my age or older, well, now they're all dead, but before, they just never, they were always terrified to approach me.
Ah.
And younger men were the only ones that,
they're bold.
Yeah, raised by women like me.
God bless her.
I should message
God
her.
God bless her.
Is she on anything?
I don't know. She's on the Jennifer Hudson show, which I never miss. That's where I got that. So she's out. She's doing stuff. I don't know. Look her up. Lazo, the other day we were talking about, you know, older females.
Yeah.
Does Cher?
I just looked her up. She looked pretty good.
Do you guys think she's like super hot?
She was
at
one
so
point.
Hot in the 70s.
Really?
Oh my God. Go back and watch
like
Sonny
the
and Cher.
Sailor video or whatever. What, she's like on a.
Just watch Sonny and Cher. Watch her perform.
A big ship. You know, the sailors.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Video.
But just look.
She's wearing like a leather jacket and like stockings or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't. Okay.
Look up clips from the, I guess, 60s even? Or was it,
yeah,
it start in the 70s?
I think in the 80s she was hot.
Oh, no, me too. I'm saying look up the Sonny and Cher stuff when it's just them on stage. I don't know how you could not see or not think that she's absolutely
just
gorgeous.
Not for me, I guess.
I mean, she looked like, to me, she looked like some sort of sculpted goddess.
Were they like,
I mean, her
they
hair,
were
her
married?
Face.
They
were married, yeah.
Okay, until he died, or
no,
they were divorced before he died.
Okay,
he died.
And she dated Greg Allman.
He got into politics, right? Was he a representative or a senator?
He was.
He was something big, right?
Was
it
a senator
or a representative? Okay.
Okay.
And then he hit a tree skiing, which I didn't know that was. You know, I was like, oh my God, is that? And then I learned that I guess that happens to a lot of people. You know, I don't live in Colorado or Utah. I don't ski, so I didn't know that, but. That's how he went out. I don't know how
she
old he was.
She married him in 64, divorced him in 75. Then she married Greg Allman in 75 and divorced him in 79.
Well, I just found this article here. Cher says Sonny Bono told her he didn't find her attractive when they first met.
Yeah.
I wasn't the only one.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
The guy that married
her husband didn't find her attractive.
Yeah.
I'm going to find some pictures of her and send them your way, and just you can tell me what you think. I mean, you don't have to like her, but I'm curious if you're looking at the right things in there. So, Koberger, Kahlberger, or however this woman's about to say it in this news clip, you know, he had to come up with his alibi. I don't understand how courts work, just like I don't understand anything else. But in this case, which Snow Cone has been following closer than any of us here, they said, oh, the prosecution is going to give his alibi, which we talked about whenever that was, last week, something like that. Because we've been wondering, what's his alibi going to be? What's his story going to be about how he couldn't have done it, why he didn't do it? And his alibi turned out to be like, he likes to go for drives.
He likes to look at the sky at night
and stuff. And I was like, well, that seems like a lame alibi. So now I see the judge in this case has said, your alibi sucks.
Did they really?
Yes. So I don't know if that means you
the
need
judge,
to come up.
Judge?
The judge said, yeah, judge said, your alibi stinks. You got to come up with something
better. Ryan Kohberger's legal team fighting to unseal DNA records used to pinpoint him as the suspect, while the state argues his alibi comes up short of the legal standard, urging the judge to reject it. Earlier, Kohberger's attorney said Mr. Kohberger was out driving in the early morning hours of November 13, 2022, as he often did to hike and run and or see the moon and stars. Prosecutors now writing that the alibi response continues to lack the specificity required by Idaho code, and the defendant is offering nothing new to his initial alibi.
Okay, do we still have a lawyer on Twitch right now? Because that I did. What are they talking about that you have to have an alibi that meets a legal standard? They said his defense team wants to get...
That seems ridiculous.
Right, they said...
If I just said I was on a walk, I'd be like, not good enough?
Yeah, I don't get that
either. And wait, doesn't it sound like they're saying his team wants to get the DNA records that the prosecutors have? They want to see how they got this DNA, how they tested it, where they tested it.
Yeah,
which I thought
they
always
have.
I thought that by law, they had to hand that stuff over. Isn't that how a court works?
I think they do, but I think that the prosecution doesn't... I think like the FBI, some other labs, like still has it right now. It's not the state doesn't have it to give them yet.
But isn't the law that you have to give them the evidence that they can go
discovery.
Over it? Okay, so when the judge says this alibi is no good, does it sound to you like they're saying you can't get this DNA evidence until you come up with a better alibi? Is that what they're saying?
I don't know.
Listen to it again.
Ryan Kohberger's legal team fighting to unseal DNA records used to pinpoint him as the suspect, while the state argues his alibi comes up short of the legal standard.
I don't know if it was talking about two different things. Exactly,
or
I can't
saying that. Yeah,
if she said meanwhile, if she said meanwhile, then I know.
Meanwhile,
but she just says, but this state
argues. I don't
know
if they're connected or not.
So why do you have to have a better alibi? What difference does it make to the judge?
Yeah, I don't get that.
What, I mean, if it's the truth, what if it's the truth?
Yeah, I mean, what if it is
What if the truth is I sit at my house and I drink Keystone Light and I watch other people play video games because I got kicked out of the clan because I'm too drunk. And that's what I do all night. And like that doesn't sound like a real alibi.
Talk about specificity.
Well, exactly. Well, but I'm just doing the one thing.
They don't want, they want the DNA to be unsealed so the public can see it. They have it.
Oh, the defense has it?
Yeah, the defense is now petitioning the judge to have most of the genetic genealogy records unsealed.
I'd like to see that.
There's simply no legitimate reason that the way the IgG procedures in the case took place should be shielded from the public.
I agree.
That's like
what
the
23andMe test. This court provided no authority for sealing those materials. Most materials have been sealed in this case to protect the right to a fair trial. There is simply nothing unfairly prejudicial about the way in which IgG was carried about the state and its associates in this case.
Okay, so but we still those things probably aren't related, right? Them trying to get the DNA
out
to the public and his alibi, they just that news clip was a little confusing as all, right? So what is the alibi for? Why does the judge say you have to have a better alibi?
I don't get that.
Okay, so the information does not rise to the level of an alibi at the time of the homicide because the defendant's cell phone stopped reporting to the cellular network before the homicides and continued to not report until after the homicide.
Oh, 27 minutes
The location of the defendant's cell phone at times other than the time of the homicides is not proof of or relevant to the defendant's specific location at the time of the homicide. So they're not saying that you can't say that's an alibi. They're saying they're not saying driving around isn't an alibi. That's fine.
They said it lacked the specificity.
In your case, you don't have any proof that you were driving around. So your alibi could be I was driving around, my cell phone's pinging off a tower. Great, that's your alibi.
Right.
The judge is saying, yo, we don't have any proof during the homicides of your cell phone pinging off any tower, so it's not really an alibi.
But my question is, what does it matter? Because lots of times alibis can't be checked out. Cops will say, we tried to check out the alibi, but, you know, there was nobody home. Right. So there was
so
no one.
So they're saying, like, we need, like, specific, like, where did you go? Like, where were you driving?
But right, but why do they need
the
that?
During the time that your cell phone was off.
Right. I'm just asking, why do they need that? We're not even at trial yet, so.
I don't know.
I don't understand. What are they holding back because of this?
All right. I think what they're saying is, whatever. I think what they're saying is, I think probably the defense is like, yo, we have an alibi. If you have an alibi, you don't go to court. Right? 90% of the time, if they're like, they go to check out somebody for murder and they're like, hey, there's video of me at a restaurant buying drinks.
So this is just to get out of the trial committee.
So they're saying, hey, I have an alibi.
Duh.
And they're like, no, the alibi doesn't reach the specificity to go ahead and get this case dismissed.
Not that you need to try
because the 27 minutes isn't there. But if he had his cell phone pinging off the towers,
of course.
They'd be like, well, he was an hour away. His cell phone's there.
No need
maybe
to
maybe that would reach it. Or here's my cell phone pinging off the tower, and I'm at this restaurant, and here's my credit card receipt.
Of course.
Put them together.
This is about
now,
going to trial.
So them saying it's not
going
specific
trial.
Enough is like,
you're
gonna
have
we're
to go
still
going to
go to trial.
Right.
Exactly. But your motion
see,
denied.
The thing is, I forget.
See, Slinton said he was going to tell you he's an idiot.
This guy looks so guilty that I forget.
I'm really starting to feel like Twitch because I'm getting frustrated. I want to send you bad emojis.
No, I literally forget. Like, at this point, like to me, the trial is happening, right? There's no way this trial isn't happening.
No, I'm with you.
So
like,
I totally forget that his defense is still trying to argue, like, hey, we were trying to
see,
of course
this is
they
the
do that. That's their
thing.
Job.
The prosecutors want the May 14th hearing to be closed to the public.
Okay.
Which is interesting, but Koberger's public defender wants it to be held in an open setting.
That's been for everything
she's
had.
Not only is there no authority to protect the FBI, other law enforcement agents, and the state in this matter, this request to deny Mr. Koberger an open hearing is a clear violation of his right to a public trial.
So every single thing they've had so far in court has been that. The prosecution wants it closed. The defense wants it open.
Why?
And
of course,
they split it like half and half.
Okay. And so we're still at this point where, because they haven't gone to trial yet, of course, his defense team is like, we shouldn't even be going to trial, right?
Yep.
Which I thought we were past that. You know what I mean? Because they're talking about dates and everything else.
Like,
so
we're going to go to trial.
Right.
This isn't getting thrown out.
Yeah, of course. So that makes perfect sense. And it also, once again, showcases I'm an idiot.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo. All right.
Your show, Laszlo, Baby Reindeer.
Well, I didn't make it. I did enjoy it.
It's your favorite show of the last whatever. I don't know. It's been a while.
Okay.
I haven't heard you talk about a show as much.
I did like it.
And you've been imploring me to watch it more than anything.
Yeah, you won't. So now it's done.
I don't want
to talk about it.
I knew that by the time I finished it, you wouldn't talk to me about it. It's like
you're
that.
You're kind of.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Herpes infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo. All right, talk to me.
We're finishing the news. Laszlo, are you an emoji user? I'm trying to think. You use them a little bit, but not heavily.
I think I use a wink and a laugh.
But you use the actual face. You don't make the emoji with the symbols.
No.
Like the old school. Emoticon, thank you. You use the actual emojis. I feel like it depends on who you're talking to. Some people use them. My mom, my mom uses them, yes, so I will use them. She sends me the kissy face. I know she sends it to you, too.
Then I should go back to squirting water.
Okay. So, anyhow, they're popular. And if you guys watch that thing on Netflix about that documentary that came out a couple weeks ago about 4chan. It's interesting. They talk about the history of emojis, and that in Japan, when people were using the internet, they had limited data, and they're using like flip phones back then, and they're trying to communicate. But because they had such limited data, they came up with using emojis, and that's why emojis are so popular in Japan. It's probably why we have emojis here. Anyhow, now emojis are popular, and Google has said, hey, we want to add something to the emoji world. How about...
Because I don't know, it's like Apple owned the emoji. Like, who owns the emojis?
There was a big debate for years about, can we please get the emojis to line up? Because for a long time, if you sent a smirk from an iPhone to an Android phone, they might get a different enough smirk that it didn't make sense. That it was like lost in translation sometimes. They tried to get it close. My understanding now, I guess you could try texting my Android phone. But my understanding now is that they've made them the same. Someone on Twitch can tell us if that's
Android
right.
Android people text me, and it comes across as like the...
Right, on yours it will always look like that, but are they we getting the same messages? What do theirs look like? Yeah.
Okay.
So, but anyway, I think they've done that. But now Google has said, we're going to add something to the emoji world. How about audio emojis? Mm. You don't have to send an image. You can just send a clip that someone else has already made for you. Honestly, I kind of like it. Okay. Can laugh at you.
That's what they came up with?
Well, they said those are some of the examples.
So
I don't
horrible.
Know.
The quality's horrible.
I don't know why that is. That's the one that they sent, and I thought, is this a joke or what? But they
it's
said
like
these
audio
are
emojis from the some, 70s.
There's going to be a bunch of them, supposedly. Oh, I don't know. They said there'll be much more than that, and they're trying to get audio emojis to become a thing. So I guess Android users will get to use that. I don't know if iPhone users will get to use them or not. I kind of like the idea. People like to be sarcastic with us on Twitch all the time.
Sure.
You know, they send us the clapping. It's good job, idiot. Mm-hmm. You figured it out. Stuff like that. I think the sounds would be good for them. You know, they could send us the cheers. I guess they sort of do that on Twitch already. So, but
usually have my volume down. I don't know that. It's...
Oh yeah, I do too. I always have my volume down. You know what? Why do you have your volume down all the time? Do you have a reason? Can I ask?
Just so I don't hear it all the time.
Yeah, that's it. It's just you just want your phone silent.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's why.
I also leave my volume down all the time in case, like,
same.
You get in the car and Bluetooth connects and you forgot that you had, you know.
Porn
like,
on?
It's just something, a video of someone dying on Reddit
or
porn on or whatever.
I think I open up, like, you know, Instagram or whatever and it goes to a reel and I'm not ready for it. It just starts playing a reel loud,
that too,
you know?
Yes. If you're
so
scrolling through Instagram
silent.
And then all of a sudden you accidentally hit it so
when
the sound starts.
I decide to start watching a video, then I turn the volume
turn
on.
It up,
to
sure.
it.
Yeah. The people who have their phone ringing all the time, it surprises me. I'm like, why?
Who the hell still has a ringer on?
I hear it. I mean, you go out in public and people have got their
people
phone
still
ringing.
Have ringers on?
Oh, yes. Some of them still
of
have
course,
custom rings of rappers and stuff.
Really?
Yes. Do you go out ever? You don't hear these phones ringing?
Not really.
Yeah, no. People still have their phones ringing. Especially, it looks like a generational thing. I think a lot of women, like maybe in their, what would you say, 50s, 60s, I see their phones ringing a lot in public.
Well, I think
it's in their purse.
It.
And they can't feel it vibrate in their purse. So
my
they
phone
hasn't
been
ring
off
on
silence since 2014.
I know. Since ever. When they came out with vibrate on cell phones, I remember my buddy getting a flip phone that had vibrate, and I was like, I have to get that now.
Right.
That was like the biggest advancement to me. I was like, well, that's great, because now I never have to hear the stupid thing again. Anyhow, I guess Google is going to be adding audio emojis. The last one I said, Cher might be available. She was.
I know what she said. She likes to date younger guys because all the guys her age are dead.
That's part of what she said, yes. And she also said, and I don't know if this is true or not, but she said that the reason she dated younger guys or dates younger guys is because guys her age were always intimidated by her. Now, I find that odd. You would think that the younger guy would be intimidated by Cher, right? Sonny and Cher. You watch her on TV, you think she's hot, you're younger. I don't know. I would think that's intimidating. She says the people her age were the ones intimidated by her.
I'm really shy when I'm not working and kind of shy around men. And the reason I got with young men is because men my age or older, well, now they're all dead, but before, they just never, they were always terrified to approach me.
Ah.
And younger men were the only ones that,
they're bold.
Yeah, raised by women like me.
God bless her.
I should message
God
her.
God bless her.
Is she on anything?
I don't know. She's on the Jennifer Hudson show, which I never miss. That's where I got that. So she's out. She's doing stuff. I don't know. Look her up. Lazo, the other day we were talking about, you know, older females.
Yeah.
Does Cher?
I just looked her up. She looked pretty good.
Do you guys think she's like super hot?
She was
at
one
so
point.
Hot in the 70s.
Really?
Oh
my God. Go back and watch
like
Sonny
the
and Cher.
Sailor video or whatever. She's like on a.
Just watch Sonny and Cher. Watch her perform.
A big ship. You know, the sailors.
Oh, yeah.
Video.
But just look.
She's wearing like a leather jacket and like stockings or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay.
Look up clips from the, I guess, 60s even? Or was it,
yeah,
it start in the 70s?
I think in the 70s. 80s she was hot.
Oh, no, me too. I'm saying look up the Sonny and Cher stuff when it's just them on stage. I don't know how you could not see or not think that she's absolutely
just
gorgeous.
Not for me, I guess.
I mean, she looked like, to me, she looked like some sort of sculpted goddess.
Were they like,
I mean, her
they
hair,
were
her
married?
Face.
They
were married, yeah.
Okay, until he died, or
no, well, they were divorced before
he
died.
And she dated Greg Allman.
He got into politics, right? Was he a representative or a senator?
He was.
He was something big, right?
Was
it
senator
or representative? Okay.
Okay.
And then he hit a tree skiing, which I didn't know that was. You know, I was like, oh my God, is that? And then I learned that I guess that happens to a lot of people. You know, I don't live in Colorado or Utah. I don't ski, so I didn't know that, but That's how he went out.
I don't know
how
old he was. She married him in 64, divorced him in 75. Then she married Greg Allman in 75 and divorced him in 79.
Well, I just found this article here. Cher says Sonny Bono told her he didn't find her attractive when they first met.
Yeah.
I wasn't the only one.
Okay, there you go. Yeah,
the guy that married
her husband didn't find her attractive. Yeah. I'm going to find some pictures of her and send them your way, and just you can tell me what you think. I mean, you don't have to like her, but I'm curious if you're looking at the right things in there. So, Koberger, or however this woman's about to say it in this news clip, you know, he had to come up with his alibi. I don't understand how courts work, just like I don't understand anything else. But in this case, which Snowcone has been following closer than any of us here, they said, oh, the prosecution is going to give his alibi, which we talked about whenever that was, last week, something like that. Because we've been wondering, what's his alibi going to be? What's his story going to be about how he couldn't have done it, why he didn't do it? And his alibi turned out to be like, he likes to go for drives.
He likes to look at the sky
at night and stuff. And I was like, well, that seems like a lame alibi. So now I see the judge in this case has said, your alibi sucks.
Did they really?
Yes. So I don't know if that means you
the
need
judge,
to come up.
Judge?
The judge said, yeah, judge said, your alibi stinks. You got to come up
Ryan
with something
Koberger's
better.
Ryan Koberger's legal team fighting to unseal DNA records used to pinpoint him as the suspect, while the state argues his alibi comes up short of the legal standard, urging the judge to reject it. Earlier, Koberger's attorney said Mr. Koberger was out driving in the early morning hours of November 13, 2022, as he often did to hike and run and or see the moon and stars. Prosecutors now writing that the alibi response continues to lack the specificity required by Idaho code, and the defendant is offering nothing new to his initial alibi.
Okay, do we still have a lawyer on Twitch right now? Because that I did. What are they talking about that you have to have an alibi that meets a legal standard? They
yeah,
said his defense team wants to get...
That seems ridiculous.
Right, they said...
If I just said I was on a walk, I'd be like,
not good enough?
Yeah, I don't get that
either. And wait, doesn't it sound like they're saying his team wants to get the DNA records that the prosecutors have? They want to see how they got this DNA, how they tested it, where they tested it.
Yeah,
which I thought
they
that,
always have.
I thought that by law, they had to hand that stuff over. Isn't that how a court works?
I think they do, but I think that the prosecution doesn't... I think like the FBI, some other labs, like still has it right now. It's not the state doesn't have it to give them yet.
But isn't the law that you have to give them the evidence
yeah,
you have
yeah,
so
sure.
they can
yeah,
go
discovery.
Over it? Okay, so when the judge says this alibi is no good, does it sound to you like they're saying you can't get this DNA evidence until you come up with a better alibi? Is that what they're saying?
I don't know.
Listen to it again.
Ryan Koberger's legal team fighting to unseal DNA records used to pinpoint him as the suspect, while the state argues his alibi comes up short of the legal standard.
I don't know if it was talking
connected?
About two different things.
Exactly.
Or they're saying that... Yeah,
if she said meanwhile, then I know.
Meanwhile,
but but she just says, but this
yeah,
state argues.
I don't know if they're connected or not.
So why do you have to have a better alibi? What difference does it make to the judge?
Yeah, I don't get that.
What, I mean, if it's the truth, what if it's the truth?
Yeah, I mean, what if it is
What
the
if
truth?
The truth is I sit at my house and I drink Keystone Light and I watch other people play video games because I got kicked out of the clan because I'm too drunk. And that's what I do all night. And like that doesn't sound like a real alibi.
Talk about specificity.
Well, exactly. Well, but I'm just doing the one thing.
They don't want, they want the DNA to be unsealed so the public can see it. They have it.
Oh, the defense has it?
Yeah, the defense is now petitioning the judge to have most of the genetic genealogy records unsealed.
I'd like to see
There's
that.
There's simply no legitimate reason that the way the IgG procedures in the case took place should be shielded from the public.
I agree.
That's like
so
what
there you go. This court provided no authority for sealing those materials. Most materials have been sealed in this case to protect the right to a fair trial. There is simply nothing unfairly prejudicial about the way in which IgG was carried, about the state and its associates in this case.
Okay, so but we still those things probably aren't related, right? Them trying to get the DNA out to the public and his alibi. They just that news clip was a little confusing as all, right? So what is the alibi for? Why does the judge say you have to have a better alibi?
I don't get that.
Okay, so the information does not rise to the level of an alibi at the time of the homicide because the defendant's cell phone stopped reporting to the cellular network before the homicides and continued to not report until after the homicide.
27 minutes
The location of the defendant's cell phone at times other than the time of the homicides is not proof of or relevant to the defendant's specific location at the time of the homicide. So they're not saying that you can't say that's an alibi. They're saying they're not saying driving around isn't an alibi. That's fine.
They said it lacked the specificity.
In your case, you don't have any proof that you were driving around. So your alibi could be, I was driving around, my cell phone's pinging off a tower. Great, that's your alibi.
Right.
The judge is saying, yo, we don't have any proof during the homicides of your cell phone pinging off any tower, so it's not really an alibi.
But my question is, what does it matter? Because lots of times alibis can't be checked out. Cops will say, we tried to check out the alibi, but, you know, there was nobody home. Right. So there was
so
no one.
So they're saying, like, we need, like, specific, like, where did you go? Like, where were you driving?
But right, but why do they need that?
During the time that your cell phone was off.
Right. I'm just asking, why do they need that? We're not even at trial yet, so.
I don't know.
I don't understand. What are they holding back because of this?
All right. I think what they're saying is, I think probably the defense is like, yo, we have an alibi. If you have an alibi, you don't go to court. Right? 90% of the time, if they're like, they go to check out somebody for murder and they're like, hey, there's video of me at a restaurant buying drinks.
So this is just to get out of the trial.
Yeah,
committee.
So they're saying, hey, I have an alibi.
Duh.
And they're like, no, the alibi doesn't reach the specificity to go ahead and get this case dismissed.
Not that you need to try
because the 27 minutes isn't there. But if he had his cell phone pinging off the towers,
of course.
They'd be like, well, he was an hour away. His cell phone's there.
No need
maybe
to
maybe that would reach it. Or here's my cell phone pinging off the tower, and I'm at this restaurant, and here's my credit card receipt.
Of course.
Put them together.
This is about
now,
going to trial.
So them saying it's not
going
specific
to
enough is like,
you're
going
to have to go to
trial.
We're still
going to go to trial.
Right.
But your motion
see,
denied.
The thing is, I forget.
See, Slinton said he was going to tell you he's an idiot.
This guy looks so guilty that I forget.
I'm really starting to feel like Twitch because I'm getting frustrated. I want to send you bad emojis.
No, I literally forget. Like, at this point, like, to me, the trial is happening, right? There's no way this trial isn't happening.
No, I'm with you.
So I totally forget that his defense is still trying to argue, like, hey, we were trying to
see,
of course
this is
they
the
do
interesting
that.
Thing.
Job.
The prosecutors want the May 14th hearing to be closed to the public.
Okay.
Which is interesting, but Koberger's public defender wants it to be held in an open setting.
That's been for everything
she's
had.
Not only is there no authority to protect the FBI, other law enforcement agents, and the state in this matter, this request to deny Mr. Koberger an open hearing is a clear violation of his right to a public trial.
So every single thing they've had so far in court has been that. The prosecution wants it closed. The defense wants it open.
Why
and
they want it closed?
They split it like half and half.
Okay. And so we're still at this point where, because they haven't gone to trial yet, of course his defense team is like, we shouldn't even be going to trial, right?
Yep.
Which I thought we were past that. You know what I mean? Because they're talking about dates and everything else.
Like,
so
we're going to go to trial. This isn't getting thrown out.
Yeah, of course. So that makes perfect sense. And it also, once again, showcases I'm an idiot.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo. All right.
Your show, Laszlo, Baby Reindeer.
Well, I didn't make it. I did enjoy it.
It's your favorite show of the last whatever. I don't know. It's been a while.
Okay.
I haven't heard you talk about a show as much.
I did like it.
And you've been imploring me to watch it more than anything.
So now it's done.
I will watch
it. Talk about it
with
you.
I knew that by the time I finished it, you wouldn't talk to me about it. It's like
you
that.
You could have watched it when I texted you.
It's like that. I was doing other stuff.
No, you said you were watching, like, you know, another murder mystery thing. What'd you watch? And then you watched the Mark Wahlberg movie. You always busted my balls.
Because I was falling asleep. I didn't want to miss Baby Reindeer. I put that on to fall asleep.
And then you watched the whole goddamn movie.
I couldn't fall asleep. Yeah,
I'm just saying, you know, you didn't want to.
There's been a couple opportunities I could have started it for sure, but I was going to watch it over the weekend. And I know you're not going to talk about it on Monday.
I refuse.
It's like that time I tried to talk to you about the Joaquin Phoenix Johnny Cash movie, and it had been out for like 4 years, and we were on the elevator, and you got really mad and told me never do that again. So now I try and make sure that it's within like the last week. But with Baby Reindeer, I think it's got to be closer because you've been asking me about it every day.
But I've talked to other people about it.
I think Fritz has been watching it. Did you talk to him about it?
No, I know.
Okay, well, he texted me. I think he was watching it. Anyway, I haven't started it yet, but I have an idea of what it's about at this point because it's been talked about so much. It's like the most watched thing on Netflix in last week. I don't know. They say in this maybe 18, 20 million people, something. A lot of people have been watching it. And if you don't know anything about it, it is a miniseries about a guy who he wrote this. It was based on a one-man play. And he wrote this story that's supposed to be semi-autobiographical about his life and an actual incident he had with a stalker in his life.
Yes.
And so what he did is he does the miniseries. He had a play, turns it into a miniseries, and he changes the names of people. Supposedly, from what I've heard, he tries to make some of the people look different or whatever. But the show gets very popular, and people, of course, love to sleuth. So they get online, and they start looking these people up. Who's the stalker? Apparently, at one point in the series, there's talk that this guy was maybe assaulted by a guy. It was abused by a guy? Something bad happened by
a
guy?
It's in the movie, right. And it's a TV producer.
Okay, so I don't know the details of that because I haven't seen it yet. But people have looked up that guy, or at least who they think that guy is.
Right, there's two of them.
Okay, so see, Lazlo's been on the hunt here, too. Yeah. He's following these threads, I guess, on Reddit or wherever
I did scroll through it then, and they said, here's the people.
Okay, so these people now are upset. The one who they say is the stalker, I don't even know, has she denied that it's her? Sounds like she's saying it's her. She's just saying he stalked me, right? Like he liked me. So now it's like, what do you do?
Fiona is her real name.
Legally, are you allowed to sue? If someone changes the names of everyone on the show, they, you know, 20, 30 years ago, this wouldn't have been a problem at all.
Right.
Without people being able to look it up on the internet, you change the names and put actors in it, you're fine. Legally, you don't have a thing to worry about. Now people can easily go on your social media, look at your history, who was messaging you.
Well, that's it. So people scroll down to like the years that this happened and they've got tweets from this woman to him.
Right.
And so they're like, well, there you go.
There's those breadcrumbs now that most of us have, or at least a lot of us have. So should these people be allowed to sue since they're now being harassed? I don't know.
The Daily Mail tracking down a woman they claim is the alleged female stalker that inspired the show, but not identifying her. The woman reportedly saying, I'm the victim. He's written a bloody show about me. A UK actor, writer, and director saying he's been defamed by people believing he may have inspired a character who was accused in the show of sexual assault, posting on social media that police have been informed and are investigating all defamatory, abusive, and threatening posts against me.
So the cops have had to get involved because these people are being threatened or harassed or whatever. So now the creator of the show... was it Richard Gadd or something like that?
Yeah, but he put out a statement like last week.
Please stop. And it sounds like he's doing it again, saying, hey, guys, please stop looking these people up. Well, that's like telling a little kid, you know, to stop playing with those toys in the corner. Don't touch those. You can play with the other ones. I mean, people are going to keep looking them up. And at this point, you don't even have to do it because the hard work's already been done. You can just go on Reddit or wherever you go. Go on Twitter, look for the hashtag, look for the Reddit thread, and you can see, oh, here's the people that they found, here's what they're saying, and now, you know, you're not contributing, I guess, but you're now sort of a part of it because you've looked into this. You know her name now, right?
Yeah, I looked at her Facebook.
Right, so it's a weird thing. Should these people be allowed to sue? You know, like, should you be protected legally?
Text me your names, I'll
look at her Facebook.
Huh? Will you text me your names,
I'll look at her Facebook. It's Fiona. Just, if you type in...
Baby Reindeer.
Fiona, Baby Reindeer. They'll show your Facebook.
But who they...
I don't think I'm supposed to say that.
Right, who they think is her, at least. She also says, the actress that you got looks nothing like me.
It looks just like her.
I saw one of those. Did you see that thing she said?
Uh-uh.
This was shown to me by Brooke's sister. She said something about... If it's the same woman, she said something about, you know, look, nothing against that actress or whatever, but, you know, I'm not overweight and I don't look like that. Something along those lines.
Right.
You know, started with, hey, I'm not trying to be mean to that actress, but I don't look...
She's not as big as that actress, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen what she actually looks like. But it's crazy. This thing is huge. It's
if he
the biggest
changed the name,
that's
and it's true.
And it's true. The problem now is with the harassment that people get.
No, I get it. It's a problem. I just don't... I mean, you can sue anybody. So can you sue them? Yes. The only people who can't sue are gun manufacturers. But can you sue them? Yes. But I wouldn't think. Like, hey, I changed the name. You guys, you're not positive it's her. There's no way you could be positive it's her until you went to her Facebook and said, is this you? And then she said yes. So, not my issue.
Right.
Like, there's no way you could be positive it's her without her responding.
Right. I mean, like, the Daily Mail won't say her name.
Yeah, right.
They leave it out.
Even most Reddit threads, they say if you say the names, we'll
ban you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, so they don't say her name in these, like, actual articles that you'll find from news outlets, but they usually reference this Daily Mail article. And she says, you know, these people, these Richard Gadd, that's his name, right?
Yeah.
Richard Gadd supporters have been harassing me and sending me these, you know, messages. And now I'm being stalked by these people. And I thought, like the producer. I don't know what the producer is alleged to have done to him in this show. Some sort of sexual assault, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he groomed him.
Okay.
And he drugged him.
Okay.
And he raped him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Over and over and over again.
Oh, wow. Okay. Serious
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, like on the weekends.
Not like I didn't like the way he put his hand on my thigh when he took that selfie.
No, like I can get you a job in Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
Or in London. And you can work on my TV show and I'll go through all your scripts. Why don't you take some of these drugs? And then he'd wake up and, you know, I don't know how else to say it.
Okay. Okay.
He'd be in pain, or he'd wake up with the guy, you know.
Yeah.
Fondling him.
Yeah.
But then he would go back over and over and over again.
Right.
You know, one, I think he was a drug addict. Two, he wanted to be a star.
Right.
You know, three, I don't think he remembered everything. They made it feel like he didn't remember exactly what happened. He, you know, he would pass out and then wake up. And then, yeah, he would mix MDMA with GHB and give it to him.
I'll knock you out. So, all right, I want to give you a hypothetical.
It was like a big glass, like a shot glass of MDMA.
Yeah.
They called it a...
The GHB will knock you out for sure.
A load or something.
Okay. Well, I just want to give you a hypothetical.
I just hadn't seen it done like that before. I'd taken GHB in the shot glass before to get drunk, but I'd never, you know, seen it mixed together like that in a cocktail shot.
I got drugged once. I know you guys don't believe me, but I left my Red Bull sitting on a counter.
I just forgot you put it in there, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what you say, but it definitely happened. I assume everyone said, based on what happened to me, that it was probably GHB. It's so bizarre to me that people go around and actually do that still. I mean, I know that it happened somewhere, but that it would be common enough that it's happened to me. Snowcone said that it happened to him. I don't know. Anyway, I want to give you a hypothetical based on this baby reindeer thing. Imagine that someone who, let's say, was a producer here or an intern, goes out and writes a play.
This woman does not stop posting on Facebook.
No, she posts a lot.
She does not stop posting
on
Facebook. Oh,
no, and if you read it, did you watch the whole series?
I watched the first episode, so I saw the spelling mistakes.
Yeah, it's like, it's pretty close.
It's
now, the only thing is there are some people saying it may not be her.
Right.
And she's just doing it. Whoever this person is is just doing it because people think it's her. Well, not even publicity, but to have fun. Right.
Yeah,
like,
fun.
Look at that. But it certainly feels like it's her. And that's what people were saying originally, but then they went back and found, like, oh, this is you messaging him in 2012 or whatever, and it's on Twitter.
Okay. So imagine that a former intern goes and makes a play, Lazo, and it becomes so popular that Netflix picks it up. And it's a play about his time working here at the station. So they make this play, or they make this Netflix series. I don't know what the show is called. A Year with Sheila, something like that, right? And it's about these guys on the radio, and they call it, you know, the synagogue Lanzo or whatever, right? And then, and then you've got, you know, Slim for Life sitting over here or whatever.
Yeah.
It's obviously us. Everyone knows it's us. And then let's say that this intern creates things, says it's based on a true story, and says that you did horrible things that you never did, or that Snow Cone, or I did horrible things that we never did. Just changing the name.
We probably did it.
Well, there's that. Yeah, we might not be the best one. Maybe we should use a cleaner show.
Yes, but I hear what you're saying.
What I'm saying.
Yes, of course. But if they're just telling a story, it is what it is. I think he is probably held to a standard of that he had to change it enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the name wasn't the same. The name wasn't close to the same. So he had to change it enough. I think it would be hard to say, you know, it's two radio people and changing our names like as similar as you just said. I think it'd have to be different.
Okay.
And
so you think,
like,
that Baby Reindeer did that a little better?
I think they changed it more than here's Lorenzo and Slim Life.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So I think they changed it more than that.
Life.
Rolling in a Benzo.
So I think he changed it more than that.
Okay.
You know, but here's the other thing. I don't really understand how she could get upset. I understand how the TV producer could get upset if it's not him, right? And even if the one guy is him. Like, you know, there's two people they're talking about. Because as far as I know, there was never any charges or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But for this lady, at least according to the TV show, she got convicted.
Oh, okay.
Of stalking him and spent 9 months in jail for
it. Oh, okay.
And she had been convicted of stalking before that several times.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that in the first episode.
So I feel like I feel like they can just be like, well, it's true because you were convicted of it.
Okay.
The best defense against libel or slander is
the truth. Is the truth. That's why, though, I gave you this hypothetical of if they made this and it was clearly about us, the internet could figure out it was about us, and they did say false things, you know, then what? Because with the internet, again, if they did that 30 years ago, it wouldn't matter. No one's going to look it up. But now they're going to get on Twitter.
Well,
they're going to get on Facebook.
Found
they're
going
to find you. And it looks like they found her. In my opinion, if the Daily Mail and all these people are talking to her and they're not saying her name, it's kind of hard, too, to delete that history. Well, to ignore that history if you didn't delete it. If you left those tweets, you know, that you sent.
Yeah,
and
I think they're still up. I don't think she's gone back and gotten rid of them.
It's kind
of
hard to deny that. You know,
people just scrolled through his and looked at all his hats. And
yeah, and you can see what year it was, right? It's not like someone went in and placed it in there in 2012. I don't know that there's a way to do that. So it's interesting. But anyway, Lazo, congratulations because you were early. It's like the biggest show in the world. It's so big, as a matter of fact, that there are now, when you look up Baby Reindeer, you will see multiple articles that say, here's some other things like Baby Reindeer to watch, because people loved it that much.
I'm telling you, it's
and
great.
They say
it's unbelievable.
They say the ending is the best part. I don't know what happens. I haven't seen it yet. Is the ending great? Or did you just give it away?
No, I thought it was.
Okay.
But I mean, like, I didn't think it was better than the rest of it.
Okay, because I've seen multiple things that the ending is really good, and it's part of the reason people love it so much. But I will watch it, but I just know this is my only chance to talk to you about it is before I watch it. So on Monday, maybe I can talk to Snowcone about
it. Why would you say
it
peaked in episode 3? I don't understand that, Twitch, but we can talk about that off the air.
Thanks for that. Moving on.
I miss you.
I miss you too, random stranger.
Not a random stranger. I'm your ex. Don't be so cruel. Who's that girl you were talking about just then? Is that Keely? From your Facebook?
All right, Fiona, good show. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.